Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We got to talk Major League Baseball, or baseball in general, because the World Baseball Classic is off and rolling today. And I think if you go back and you look at what happened 3 years ago, you couldn't have a better script writer as Shohei Ohtani struck out Mike Trout to end the last World Baseball Classic. I do believe there is some confusion on how this whole thing goes down, what it looks like, and why we even do it. We'll talk about the World Baseball Classic. We'll also transition and talk some Major League Ball on top of everything else. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Steve, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time, and let's get ready for another season.
Let's get ready for it. I think it is go time right now, and I was talking to a good friend of mine who was also heavily involved in baseball, and we were talking about the idea of the World Baseball Classic coming at the beginning of March and how it just looks different, right? Because, we didn't have baseball throughout the winter. What if we had it in the winter rather than having it right now? Would we care a little bit more about the World Baseball Classic? And the conclusion that we came to is, well, it's difficult because the season is so long to begin with. It's almost as if the World Baseball Classic has to take place while spring training is going on. Curious as to your thoughts on that assessment.
He's right. He's right in a couple of aspects, and I think you can look at the most recently completed Winter Olympics, right? Because the National Hockey League essentially slows to a grinding halt for about 2.5 weeks during the Winter Olympics, and I would argue that the hockey season goes on for a very long period of time. They manage to scrunch in 80 games a year every season, and then the Olympics come along every 4 years, and suddenly it's elongated by a few weeks because of the Winter Olympics, because so many players jump into it. I would argue that Major League Baseball is such a long season that you're in a no-win position no matter where you put this. If you put it in where you have it now, then you extend spring training by a couple of weeks, and then you extend the possibility of a player getting hurt in a game that's not even with his own team 2 weeks before the regular season starts. If you put it after the Major League Baseball season ends, then you run into conflicts with the National Football League, college football. There's no scheduling scenario that works. And you can't put them in the middle of the season because then it just looks like that silly NBA Cup, which is the most ridiculous in-season professional sporting tournament in the history of in-season professional sporting tournaments. So you can't put it there. So, you know, the only other option would be just to eliminate it entirely. But then you take away the most important thing that sports does, which is make revenue for television networks and potentially, you know, the teams that are participating and the players that are participating. So it's a no-win situation. I'm like you, we were talking off the air. I prefer that just nobody gets hurt. And I don't mean that just for the Dodgers because I'm a Dodgers fanatic. I mean nobody. I don't want to see anybody have to miss the season because of an ACL tear that happens in some crummy game, you know, between, you know, Colombia and Peru. I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
No, but to that logic, and I've always had this thought, you know, I remember when Paul George got hurt in the FIBA trials, and it was devastating. I can't remember if it was a compound fracture or not, but it was a bad injury. It kept him out for a year. We've seen this, right? Players getting hurt in international play. What I always go back to is a player is just as likely to get hurt in spring training. Right. In the NFL, we've limited the preseason games. We only get 3. We don't get 4 anymore unless you play in the Hall of Fame game. Well, a player can just as easily get hurt in practice or in the, you know, the joint practices that we get in the offseason as they can in a preseason game. And so while I agree with you, yes, I think the lights are brightest on the World Baseball Classic. It overshines spring training, anything that goes on in spring training. I think if you asked 100 people what's been going on in spring training right now, many could not tell you, but many of those same people will be able to tell you what happens in the World Baseball Classic. I think that's become a talking point as far as the injuries are concerned, because honestly, for a professional athlete, they never stop. These are not rec league players that when the season is done, they go home and they sit and they do nothing for months. They're always playing in some capacity.
Sure. And that's a perfectly valid point. My concern, again, is just, again, any player can get injured, like to your point. But if he gets injured in the process of a spring training game for XYZ team that he's on, like, it's, let's say, for instance, say Bobby Witt gets hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Bobby Witt gets hurt in a World Baseball Classic game, there's clauses in their contracts that still think that that still would suggest that they may or may not get paid. If Bobby Witt Jr. gets hurt during a regular season game or a spring training game, he's still getting paid. But Major League Baseball owners have a way out if they get hurt during the World Baseball Classic. So it doesn't do them any good to even be in the thing. But again, you're running the risk of getting injured at any point in time. So I worry about that aspect of it a little bit. Like, I would worry if Juan Soto got hurt. I would worry. I guarantee you, my first phone call screaming at the top of my lungs, if Shohei Ohtani takes a line drive off of his ankle in some meaningless World Baseball Classic game, my first phone call is to you.
And likewise, mine would be to you as well. I guess that is the other aspect of the World Baseball Classic, and this is why it ultimately will outshine spring training. Because I had someone ask me, am I going to recognize anyone playing in the World Baseball Classic outside of Japan and the United States? And my answer to that is yes. The one thing that we can say when we talk about the World Baseball Classic is that the greatest baseball players in the world are playing in this. And I think that's why it outshines spring training significantly.
Yes, because unlike I'm watching the Yankees and Boston Red Sox on TV, and I don't know half the guys on the Yankees or the Red Sox, not because I don't know who they're going to have on opening day, but because the guys that I'm watching right now, they're going to be in the AAA and AA rosters for the Yankees and Red Sox in 2.5 weeks. You know, it's the same thing we were talking off the air about watching the Dodgers spring training games. That's great. I'm glad to see Dalton Rushing having a great spring. Dalton Rushing is not in the Dodgers' long-term plans for opening day. Dalton Rushing is going to be in AAA. So I'm cool watching these guys in AA. We're not going to see that in the World Baseball Classic. You're going to see the top players from the Dominican Republic, regardless of what team they represent. You're going to see the best players from Puerto Rico. You're going to see the best players from the United States, regardless of what team they play on. So in that aspect, yes, there's a fan aspect to it, but I enter this scared to death that I'm going to lose a player, if I'm a Dodger fan, but I'm going to lose a player in a game that has absolutely no significance whatsoever. There's a reason the Dodgers aren't playing Freddie Freeman that much in the spring training games. There's a reason we're not seeing that much of Mookie Betts during the spring training games. We don't want him to take a pitch in the elbow. We don't want that. So, but that's a problem you encounter in the World Baseball Classic, and we've sold it, as this very important tournament. When, in the grand scheme of things, it's an Olympic event. It's on that same scale, and I worry about the viability of it if someone important to MLB actually gets a season-ending injury as a result of it.
With all that being said, it does give us one more opportunity to see Clayton Kershaw pitch. I think that, for me, that is the, and it doesn't matter if you're a Dodger fan or not. If you're someone my age, for the bulk of your life, if you've been a baseball fan, you've seen Clayton Kershaw pitch and pitch at such a high level. It's kind of the farewell. You know, it may have been in Dodger blue when he won a World Series this past October, but the fact of the matter is, or November, excuse me, but the fact of the matter is you get to see this guy one last time pitch, and he gets to represent the United States of America. I think it's a cool story.
That's a cool story, and I know that in the past, you and I have talked about this before, like, I guess I've kind of, as much of a Dodger fanatic as you and I both are, and we get to gloat for another year, which is fantastic, but as much of a Dodger fanatic as I am, I've kind of fallen off that Clayton Kershaw is the greatest thing since the invention of the toaster the last couple of years. Like, Clayton Kershaw is about the team. He is. And that's why he stayed with the Dodgers, and that's great. But he's also really about Clayton Kershaw. And that's not to knock him. He should be about yourself.
Is he, though? Well, I've never gotten that logic. I've never gotten that vibe. with Clayton Kershaw.
Dude, when he single-handedly held up negotiations in the off season 2 years ago, you know, because he wanted to stay, but he was also openly courting Texas, and Texas was openly courting him. Like, it just seemed to me that Clayton liked Clayton, which is great. That's cool. You should want the most for yourself and your family. But I do believe that there is a little bit of that. I do believe there's a little bit of that maple syrup scent to Clayton Kershaw that maybe isn't quite fully earned at this point.
Well, yeah. Can I use the same logic, though, with Shohei Ohtani? Can we use the same logic with Teoscar Hernandez? Because I think the one thing, and I'm not saying you're wrong in that assessment, but what I am saying is sometimes we look past the fact that sports are now agent-driven. And sometimes that overshadows loyalty from either perspective. We can talk about what's best for the family, but because we're not around it, we always forget that the agent is always looking out at what's best for the agent as well.
Very true. Very true. And the agent does have a lot to do with it. The agent always has a lot to do with it. I just think that we need, I've always been, and you and I have talked about this a lot off the air, like, I love Clayton. I loved his story. You and I both were crying when he left the mound in that third, in that game three, that 18-inning marathon, when he got the third out. Like, that was, we were overjoyed at that, because that's how it should be. That's how it should have ended, with him winning World Series and him coming off the mound after that inning, and he got the job done, and everything was fine. And then I was done. Like, as soon as it was over, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Go away. Go away quietly. But he's got to come back for one more, you know, and then it's going to be something else down the road. You know, and I hate to use this comparison, he is the LeBron James of Major League Baseball.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, how dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you?
He is the LeBron, because everyone under the sun knows LeBron James is finished. Except LeBron James. And by God, he's going to go out and prove it to you. And the Lakers better damn well pay him. And next year, the Cleveland Cavaliers better pay him. And someone better take care of his kid, too.
I have that is blasphemous to compare Clayton Kershaw to LeBron James. That is blasphemy. There is no. Now, in terms of ego, all professional athletes have that. There's no doubt. LeBron James is just in another stratosphere.
I think we look at stratospheres as far as the popularity of a sport, right? If Clayton Kershaw was a major league, if Clayton Kershaw was an NBA player, okay, if Clayton Kershaw was at the tail end of his career, playing in the NBA, shuffling around and not really performing, and he's taking days off, and he's doing this, and he's doing, and he's got load management and all this crap that LeBron James is doing, we'd be tearing him a new you-know-what every day. We'd be tearing into him. Oh, but he's Clayton Kershaw, so we can't do that. He's a Dodger. And the reason we're more forgiving of Clayton Kershaw, I would argue also, is because he's been with one team. He's not like LeBron. Cleveland, LA, LA, God only knows where he goes next. We already know. Who else besides LeBron James would do a TV special about what team he was going to play for? That's the only thing that Clayton Kershaw didn't do when he was openly courting Texas, and Texas was openly courting him. The only thing we didn't have was an ESPN television show announcing where Clayton was going to go.
You know what the biggest difference is between Clayton Kershaw and LeBron James? The biggest individual difference?
Tell me.
Clayton Kershaw is not an ass. That's the biggest difference.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the biggest difference.
I'm glad that you and I, for the first time, like, ever, are disagreeing about
I don't know how we got on Kershaw. Let's move off of Kershaw for a moment. I do want to talk about another thing in baseball. Speaking of pitchers that maybe have overstayed their welcome just a little bit, what about Max Scherzer making his return to the Toronto Blue Jays?
Another guy, just like Kershaw. I mean, how many teams was he openly courting? Oh, well, he'd love to play here. And how much of that was agent-driven? A lot of it, yes. But that's another guy. And good for Max that he's going to come back for one more year where, you know, just another season where his expectations are going to fall short in some input in some postseason game later on. Look, he's no different than the story with the Pirates pitcher who's openly, no one asked him where he wants to play. You're playing in Pittsburgh and you're openly courting the New York Yankees. Like, how much more disgusting of a person do you have to be playing for a Major League Baseball team, cashing a check of theirs every 2 weeks, and saying, yeah, I'd love to play for the Yankees someday?
Yeah.
I mean, but getting back to Scherzer, I apologize. Getting back to Scherzer, good for him that he's getting one more season, you know, where he can be mildly effective from time to time when he's not, you know, when his elbow doesn't sore and he has to sit out 3 weeks. Good for him. That's great. I think that Toronto's biggest concern is not going to be how effective Max Scherzer is going to be. Toronto's got bigger issues than that coming up.
No question. No question at all. Steve, I know we are running a little bit low on time, but again, you and I were talking about off the cuff. We had the conversation during the last break about where baseball is heading, and I think that this is going to be a growing sentiment throughout the season. It's something that we cannot avoid. The fact of the matter is we are heading for a lockout. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point in time that once we get to the end of the 2026 season, there is going to be a work stoppage in some capacity. And I know while you and I may disagree on Kershaw, LeBron, we have the exact same opinion on the owners complaining about the current state of baseball where A, the players love it. They don't want a salary cap. That's a limit to what they can earn. But B, the owners who are making money hand over fist, they want a salary cap because in the long term, what does this do? Well, it levels out the playing field, which owners who are cheap, of course they want that. And also, if there's a cap to what you can pay the players, you're going to bring in even more money, right? I mean, I think it's that simple. You don't have to be a business guru to understand why the players don't want the cap and why the owners do.
You know, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf bought the Chicago White Sox back in 1981 for $20 million. Charlie Monfort bought the Colorado Rockies in 1992 for $95 million. I want you to find, for me, the last time any Major League Baseball owner, you know, had to rifle through their pantry to find a box of macaroni and cheese to make for themselves for dinner one night.
Yeah, it never happens.
Last time they had to apply for food stamps. You know why? You know why they don't? Because they're billionaires. That's why. And how they choose to spend their money is their business. You know why the Dodgers are champions or two-time I get to say this. Oh, you know why the Dodgers are the defending two-time World Series champions?
Why?
Because their owner. God, that sounded so good saying that. they spend money.
Yeah.
That's why. If you're Artie Moreno and you're telling your own fan base that spends their hard-earned money to go watch your pathetic team play baseball, that they're not interested in wins and losses. We want our fans to come out and have a good time. No, you don't. If you're not interested in being the most successful business or the most successful product in your business, then why are you in business? Unless you're trying to be the best at it. Because while 2 million people are going to show up to watch Angels games, 30 miles up the road on I-5 or on the I-5 freeway, 25 miles up the road, the Dodgers are going to draw 3 million more, are going to draw a million more people. They're going to win 30 more games. They're going to compete for a World Series. So it's the disparity between back in the 90s the 80s and 90s when the Lakers were selling out the Fabulous Forum every night. And you had a choice to go watch the pathetic LA Clippers play in that shackle of an arena called the LA Coliseum back in the day. And that was a god awful the LA Sports Arena back in the day. And you got to watch them other fans.
Hey, just so we're aware, the Coliseum's a dump as well, but continue.
The Coliseum is a dump as well. Yes, you're right. But the LA Sports Arena was just as big a dump. And the only reason you went to Clippers games was because you could go see the Clippers get absolutely annihilated by the much better team across town or in the NBA because they were going to actually beat the crap out of the LA Clippers that night.
Yeah.
The only reason you went to Clippers games, that if that's your model of success, if you're Artie Moreno and that's your level of expectation, you should not be owning a Major League Baseball team. And the same can be said for Mark Attanasio, who owns the Milwaukee Brewers for $223 million, or John Fisher, who bought the Oakland A's in 2005 for $180 million. Or if you're the guy who owns Patrick Zalewski, who owns the Tampa Bay Rays, who spent $1.7 billion to buy the Tampa Bay Rays last year. You don't think he doesn't want to spend money? Of course he does. That's why his team's going to try and be a success. Now, whether they are or not is irrelevant. They're going to try. If you're not even willing to try, then I don't want to hear about how Major League Baseball needs a salary cap because the Dodgers are ruining baseball. No, sir. You are ruining baseball because you are choosing to spend your money and not enhancing the product that you own.
He is Steve Bordstein, always kind enough to join us. Steve, fired up, ready to go. It's almost baseball season. Before I let you go, let's talk about where we can find more of you.
Oh, you know, because I'm all over social media because I think social media is the most wonderful place on earth. You can follow my writing covering a number of sports over at Tri-City Record NM. That's New Mexico. TriCityRecordNM.com, covering a variety of different sports and appearing on shows across the country with gentlemen like yourself and enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, you mean that social media, it's a public bathroom stall, right? That's what it is.
It is, as John Rocker once said about the New York Yankee but the New York City subway system, it's a sewer.
Okay. All right. I thought I was going to have to get the delay button ready.
Never. Not on your show. Only on a podcast.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
Always great to get Steve Bordstein here on Drive Time Sports. As we get set to close out this show, we're going to be back to do it again tomorrow. All kinds of more local to get into on top of more national sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Be safe. I am out.